ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Bright Brains Podcast. Today, my guest is Drake, and he wants to talk to us about a particular conspiracy theory. I am going to let him introduce himself and tell us more about what he wants to talk about. Welcome to the show, Drake.
Hi, thank you for having me, Isaac. I appreciate it. And before I go into the conspiracy theory, I just want everyone to know, like, this is all just random thoughts that I've had over the years that are kind of interconnected. And none of this affects my day-to-day life. I've got kids, full-time job. Like, none of this is, like, relevant to any of that. I just have one of those ADH brains that kind of, like, makes that weird connection to things. And this is almost all complete nonsense. But the more I kept hearing about certain conspiracy theories, the more I kept thinking there's a weird connection between them. And I don't ever hear anyone talking about the connections between these conspiracy theories. And it's not that I'm a avid believer of any one of these. It's literally just hearing people talk about these and then going, that's so odd that kind of lines up with this other conspiracy theory that's almost completely unrelated.
All right, Dan, so let's hop into it, man. Where do you want to begin?
Let's start with the overarching one. I have a little brain, like a little mind map over here. So if you see me just looking over, I'm just gathering some of my data.
No problem.
Because, again, this is really odd, and it almost makes me sound like a crazy person, and I completely get that. And I think this is only like the second time I've ever even said this out loud. The first time being like with friends, smoking some of the green stuff. Again, could also have been the reason I came up with these. All right. So as everyone, I'm sure, has heard of this overarching theme, and that is there are reptilian overlords, masters, whatever you want to hear about, running the governments, the world government. And that kind of ties into the whole secret government, like the shadow government that no one ever talks about, and people in the conspiracy communities. We all, and maybe this is just me, but a lot of the people I've talked to in here believe that politicians and all of that are more of like a figurehead, and there is like an actual government or organization behind most of these world powers that are pulling the strings. And I've got no political affiliations, but I don't think anyone believes Biden is doing anything of his own cognition currently. So I want to talk about, and again, completely crazy stuff, but the reptilian race overlord thing is, I kind of just had the thought, what if there are? What would that look like? And what would they be doing behind the shadows? Because if there's some secret shadow organization that's run by reptiles, which sounds more nonsensical than most fiction I've ever seen, what would be their reasoning for being there? And why would they be behind the shadows and making it seem like it's a crazy thing to even suggest this? Which, again, I think any logical person would be like, that's crazy, myself included. But I have, the reason I start with that is because I think that there are many other conspiracy theories that kind of all tie back to there being a reptilian race kind of pulling the world strings. The biggest one, and this is the one that kind of set it off for me, that kind of started to connect all of the other pieces sort of as like being a central theme. And I'm not sure if you're familiar with Graham Hancock and Randall Carlson.
I am a little bit familiar with, I've watched a couple of their episodes on the Joe Rogan podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm a little bit familiar with what is his theory, that a comet hit the planet or something like that.
Yes, the Young Dryas Earth theory. And that kind of set me off on like, that's so weird that there's all this negativity behind it. There's all this pushback. Like, why is there pushback on all of this? What is the reasoning for that? And I get there's a lot of ego behind it. Graham Hancock has talked about this. And then on the last episode with Randall Carlson, that this is the one that really connected it for me, or made me start seeing other connections. He started talking about he was working with a group that was looking into frequency-based technology. And he talks about how there's basically an altered branch of technology that humans have never used. And it's something that we've kind of seen throughout history that we've never been able to explain. And this one connected it to a few other conspiracy theories that, again, just brain just making these weird associations that are probably completely illogical. And so let me just start off with why I think the Young Dryas impact theory leads into these other ones. So as they've talked about on Joe Rogan and in their books and on their shows, is that there was meteorites that hit the planet 12,000 some years ago. And so one of the most devastating effects of comets that happen to the planet when they hit is not just the explosion that impacts everything, it's what the explosion does to the atmosphere. So it sends up all this smoke and ash and kind of like disrupts how our atmosphere works. Like, it makes it super hazy. It just makes it impossible for life to really exist and flourish underneath this. So it got me thinking, what if this impact altered the atmosphere, making it so that these ancient civilizations that were prior to the Young Dryas impact theory not necessarily killed them off, which I'm sure it did in droves, but also made it so that the planet became inhospitable to them. Not just killing them off, but like, what if after all the ash cleared, it disrupted how our atmosphere let in solar radiation, let's say. And because of that, the civilizations that existed prior, they could no longer stand to be underneath the sun. And this kind of leads me back to the reptilian race. What if there, and I'm not talking about like they just look like lizards that are in humanoid shape. What if they're just similar? What if, just like how like chimpanzees and humans are similar, we're way off the evolutionary path of a chimpanzee. Like, there is a huge difference. But what if there was a similar species that had kind of branched off a reptilian or amphibian track many, many years ago? Because something that's always bothered me is, why are humans the only species on Earth that think and manipulate Earth and have these conscious thoughts the way we do? That's it. I don't have an answer for that. I just think it's odd that we are the only species that behaves the way we do. And so with that, what if there was a species that, instead of being blooded like us, like warm-blooded, where we can survive in like different temperatures, it makes us very adaptable, there was a species that was more cold-blooded, and they absorbed like solar radiation and the sun rays in ways that allowed them to stay alive? What if that species needed to have a certain atmospheric condition for them to survive, but they couldn't get that anymore after the comets hit, which kind of drove them underground, which leads me into even more theories, key being the hollow earth theory. Again, seems completely random, but what if there was a literal species of creatures that existed that had to go underground 12, 13, 14,000 years ago, and they made these structures for them to live that was hospitable for them, and they had ways to survive under there. So clearly they could build technologies in ground, but they couldn't like build them into the sky because they just didn't have that technology. We don't really have that technology yet either. We can't change our atmosphere, except we kind of are, and I'll touch on that later. But what if these creatures went underground into their cities that they had already created after the comet, and they went there to protect themselves? They knew about the comet, and so they'd created cities and went to go live underground because they couldn't live on the surface anymore. And so I bring up the Hollow Earth theory because it does seem nonsense, and Godzilla has definitely not lent credence to this. But the theory for that has been around for many thousands of years. You can see this in different civilizations, mythologies. Here, I even have it pulled up here, Hollow Earth. So there are mythologies dating from in Hindu mythology, referring to, the underworld Aravan, and Celtic mythology. There's a legend of a cave called Kurashan, and I don't know if these are pronounced correctly at all. These are all just weird names that I'm not an expert in pronouncing. You have ancient Greeks talking about underworld, and all of these mythos talk about an underworld, a place under earth. Even the Christianity, that's hell. That is literally where people that are damned go. But what if the damned are a species of people that are no longer able to live on the surface? I would say if humans were driven from the top world and had to go live underground, I would say we were damned, or something along that lines. It's a punishment. It is a curse that we would be inflicted upon. So all of these mythos, and these are all mythologies that are around the globe. Like, you have these mythos in South America, in ancient Greece, in Ireland, in Native Americans. So it's so odd that, again, mythos across the world before flight was ever invented, where it would take years to travel across, if it was even possible to travel across a continent when they thought it was flat, or across the world when they thought the world was flat. It's so weird that we all have this mythos of an underground where the damned or cursed have to live. Am I making sense so far? Is it?
Yeah, you're making sense. Yeah. So let me ask you this. These reptilians, are they native to the earth?
So that is where I'm not sure. That kind of goes into the other conspiracy theory that I was going to touch on is, and I get this one from a lot of the alien sightings so far. So we've had all these sightings of aliens using technology that is beyond our scope of understanding. And while initially hearing about all these different sightings, and we all just assume that they were coming from outer space, and they very well could be. But then you start hearing about how our new radar technology is picking up a lot of these sightings, not like one or two. And that made me really curious. If an ancient or an alien race is capable of interstellar flight, faster than light travel, why would they send many of these small things to Earth? Why would they send a whole bunch of these, as some people refer to them as like tiny saucers or Tic Tacs? Nothing major, but like almost like scout sized. Why wouldn't they just, if they're capable of these technologies, why would they even bother entering our atmosphere? Why would they send many of them? What is the purpose of this? And then I heard, I forget which one, it was on Joe Rogan, because there's not many places where these men have talked about it, where they talked about the spaceship or whatever it is going underwater without causing any kind of like disturbance. And that's when it started making me wonder, like, what if they're not from outer space? What if they are capable of it? But again, what if they're native to the planet? What if this was a species that had to go underground and they can't send anything like straight up from the ground without like us seeing it through satellite imagery and all that, but they'd be able to have caverns, which they'd have access to or could create under the ocean, which is well beyond our technological capabilities. But they could have these aircraft that moved on frequency technology, kind of going back to, again, what Randall Carlson was saying, these technologies that use frequency to manipulate the matter around them. So they have these craft that are capable of manipulating at least air and water, as we are, as what we've kind of seen in different videos and what some of these Air Force men have talked about. They can go throughout our entire atmosphere without issue. And again, because our technology is lacking, we can't really spot them in outer space, but we spot them all over the planet. And it's always made me wonder, why are we seeing so many of them? Why not just, again, 3, 4, the occasional one? But as our technology progresses and our radar systems pick up, we are seeing more and more. And then we had our own government say that there are aliens, which blows my mind that our government admitted to that.
The government admitted to there being aliens? When was this?
Oh, this was like a year or two ago. Like,
really?
Yeah, it blew my mind. Hold on, let me just pull this up. Because I think the Washington Post did a story on this. And our government just responded, yeah, there's aliens. Let's see. Yeah, this was last year. NPR. So it shows that the U.S. recovered non-human biologics from UFO crash sites, former intelligence official says. It's even like, this is an NPR article, and this is all related to a congressional hearing that they held back in July of 2023. So even our own government has admitted that there's aliens, which blows my mind. And what also threw me off and what further entrenched me into this belief that what if they're not technically aliens is that our government said there is. Not that our government would ever lie to us, because they only have our best interests at heart.
Yeah, sure.
But what if that is a red herring? What if they're... isn't exactly, and I'm full believe that there's alien species out there, but what if what we are recovering isn't human, let's say, but still of a species that exists? Let me ask you this. What do you think would be more, would cause more pandemonium amongst humans? Aliens existing, or a subspecies that literally exists underneath us?
I feel like they both would cause an amount of pandemonium. Aliens, because, you know, if there's something flying around above us that's more technologically advanced and we can't stop them, that would scare people. But also, if there's something that lives below us that's more technologically advanced than us, that will scare people as well. So I could see either way, but you think the reptilians underground would scare people more than aliens?
I do think that. Also because that, again, reptilian overlords or whatever they've been referred to in conspiracy theory jargon for many years, that has always been considered crazy. But aliens... conspiracy theories for that date back around Roswell, when it started becoming more mainstream. But there's always been kind of a UFO myth mythos of ancient aliens visiting. And that also leads me to believe, what if there was both? What if there was a subterranean species that had interactions with aliens many, many years ago? And so they co-opted different technologies, and that was maybe how they knew to go underground, because the atmosphere would be inhospitable. They had these technologies to observe space. And that would also lead into the whole Nephilim and large creatures that existed that you see in like hieroglyphs for ancient Egypt, per se, and some of the other ancient drawings of beings that shouldn't exist and yet are common throughout the world. And again, let me refer back to my mind map, because I am getting so out of this. And so I kind of touched on the frequency technologies of these spacecraft. So again, what else does this lead to? And again, I think these are all connected, but I'm also like a crazy person even saying this out loud. What if these same frequency technologies that are used to manipulate the environment around them, air and water, were also capable of manipulating solid matter? And I say that in regards to these temples or pyramids that have been brought up around the world. Like, you've got them in South America, Egypt, all around the entire planet. Again, during a time before civilization was even thought to have started, and they built these structures with crazy accuracy using technology that we've not yet been able to replicate. So as far as like, I'll use the Great Pyramids for an example, because they're the most commonly known ones. Those were giant 1,000-pound blocks of stone that were carved in quarries hundreds of miles away. And not only is the transportation odd, because we don't know how they did it, also the way they were carved out of the stone is odd, because unlike how it's done now, which is using like heavy machinery, or they use the methods of like hammering in, like, have you ever seen how they cut stone now?
Yeah, so I know something I've seen on the internet is they'll put these metal shivs into the block and they'll hit it with hammers, and then over eventually the block will split. But my thing is when I look at that and I see how long it takes, I'm like, there's no way that's how they built the pyramids, because it would just take too long, you know? And so there's definitely something there. I've heard that the pyramids were electric generators, like they somehow generated some kind of energy. And it makes me think about Nikola Tesla. I don't know if Nikola Tesla ties into all this.
I love him. Huge fan.
Yeah. I think that he had rediscovered all this. He was trying to give free energy to the world, but they didn't want that. You know, they wanted to be able to make money off of electricity. And that's kind of why they discredited him. And when he died, they stole all of his files and paperwork and research. But I think he had rediscovered something that the ancients already knew.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah. I don't think he's related to those, but I do agree with you that he figured out something that altered how technology progressed. Mm-hmm. But yes, so along those lines of creating energy and generating all of that, it goes back to frequency and how all of this was done. So I've seen pictures, and they circulate the internet, of these quarries where these stones were carved out of. And again, the stones used for the pyramids, they say, were so flat, like you couldn't even get a piece of paper between them, which is insane that they would take all that time to sand them, or that's the only thing we can really think of as a way to do it, to be so smooth that that's even possible. But what makes it even more odd is that where these rocks were carved from is also really smooth, as if they decided to also sand the rocks, like after they pulled them out, which wouldn't make any sense. So if they are doing this with a technology that doesn't leave those jagged faces on the rock, like if when you see how we break rock, it's, you have to wonder, how are they doing that? And that goes back to the frequency technologies. If they can manipulate air, water, without disturbing it, why couldn't they also manipulate solid mass like rock without disturbing it and creating those jagged edges? What if it could just go a completely straight line using these technologies? And if you've ever seen like pendulums or anything that goes over Earth's natural, that's just affected by Earth's natural rotation and the energy that it outputs, it's always the same. So there's a frequency that everything operates at. So if they had these technologies that could harness the power of these frequencies, they could probably go through like stone, like butter, like just go straight through it. And if you've ever cut warm butter, you just go right through it and both sides are completely flat. So my
question is, so you think the governments of the world are keeping this technology secret? And if so, why?
I don't think that they're keeping it secret. I think they don't quite understand it. So I think there is a separate government, one that use like the shadow government that's might be a mixture of the reptilian race and human race that orchestrate the world to be what it needs to be. But I think not necessarily that they're keeping it secret, but that it doesn't have any uses for what we would need it for. So again, even if it could cut through stone and all that, the only thing that would do would be to do what exactly for the human race? Or go through flight and allow for us to have these capabilities of hypersonic flight. The only thing that, well, not the only thing, but the first thing that any human government would do would be to use that for power. Straight up, they would just be like, that's what we've done with any technological advance in really anything has been to further our own power. That is why the US government spends so much money on its military, because we want to have that power. We have nukes, we have hypersonic missiles, we have all these technologies that solely exist for the destruction of other people. What if we got our hands on something that was capable of faster than light travel, that could manipulate matter and turn it into butter? We would dominate the globe. That doesn't seem necessary for what I think that the other race would be trying to do, the reptilian race. And I think what they're trying to do is alter our atmosphere so that they are capable of living on it again. So what that means, they don't care what we would use it for our own petty gains. I think they only care what we do to further the manipulation of our environment to suit their needs. And that kind of goes back to, well, several things, but one, the climate change, hoax or not. I mean, the climate has always gone through periods of cold and warm, but humans are definitely having a effect on it. We are definitely moving the needle just because we manipulate our environment so much. What if a lot of the technologies that we are using are simply there to move the needle towards a more hospitable place for these creatures? What if they need it warmer? What if they need more carbon dioxide in the atmosphere so that they can survive better? What if, as a reptilian species, they need more sunlight so that way they can stay warm and increase their metabolism and have energy, and we are simply, our atmosphere can't provide that for them yet?
So basically what you're saying is all the technology we have all this burning of fossil fuels that we're doing, we're doing that intentionally, or they're making us do that so that they can make the environment like it was 20 or 12,000 years ago when they lived above ground.
Hey, sorry to interrupt, but are you looking to reach a dynamic and engaged audience of curious minds? Well, look no further. Bright Brains Podcast is the perfect platform to showcase your business or product. You'll be able to reach a diverse, intelligent audience and engage with listeners passionate about personal development, technology, and more. Elevate your brand through thought-provoking discussions. Don't miss this opportunity to promote your business on one of the fastest-growing podcasts in the market. Contact us today to discuss advertising options and elevate your brand to the next level. Contact us at brightbrainspod@gmail.com to secure your advertising spot on Bright Brains today. Again, that's Bright Brains with a Z, pod, P-O-D, @gmail.com. Now, back to the podcast.
Essentially, yes. They are, it's basically terraforming. It is a it's a theory that we're very capable and we know very well, but we just don't know how to do it. What if they were like, they never used like crude oil and all that because they didn't want to do all that, and they had their own technologies based on a frequency that doesn't require that kind of output. They simply had a different technological path that didn't require combustion. So again, yes.
Yeah, I may cut you off. So I want to learn more about the shadow government and how it operates.
So again, everyone always says like, follow the money. That is where it is all at. But once you start getting into the ultra wealthy, the elite, they don't care about money. Yes, money is a mover. Money is what makes the world go round. Money doesn't work if no one spends it. So it is basically energy made physical. That is how I believe money works. It's just energy, and what we put our energy into is what we get. So they created a system that harnesses our desire to use our energy. So they don't care about money, but if you follow the money, you're following energy. So you're seeing where the effort is put into. And so I do not want to go into any money conspiracy theories, because I did that like a decade ago. I got into them, and then I started seeing a lot of conspiracy theories that pointed to really awful things happening in the world. And I was like, I can't do anything about this. This just upsets me. I don't want to even learn anything else about this. That is a chosen ignorance I want to have, because I really do think that there's a power at play that is manipulating all of the world governments for some end that is simply beyond my understanding. There is a play that I do not have all of the information, or even a fraction of the information, to even come up and think of what the end could be. I think that there are species and people far smarter than me that have a strategy that is 100, 200, 300 years out, that is well beyond my understanding.
Yeah, it's definitely something going on behind the scenes, you know, like the Bilderberg group and, you know, the Federal Reserve and how these things work. You know, like just like you said, you only have a fraction of what's going on, but you realize that there is something happening, and there is something that's, you know, we're being kept in the dark about.
Yes. And I want to bring in this one. One more conspiracy theory that made me laugh when I thought about it. And Alex Jones is so famous for this one. It's turning the frogs gay. So I love that. I think it's the most ridiculous thing. And then it became true that we were dumping chemicals that were literally altering how the physiology of these amphibians that lived in these waters.
Yeah.
And this one, again, that could be complete coincidence, just man's hubris of playing with things beyond our knowledge and just destroying the environment with chemicals that we decide to make. But what if there are labs creating chemicals that are trying to affect how a amphibian reptilian species would react, would evolve and change itself genetically, which is kind of what we're doing to the frogs. And again, going back to the reptilian race, what if they are also having humans run these experiments on what they would probably consider lesser life forms, like frogs and lizards, and dumping these chemicals into natural environments to see how it genetically altered them? What if that was on purpose? What if they are, again, just looking for ways to manipulate their own genetic code so that that way they can survive on the surface again? So that way they have, they are not damned to the underground. And I want to bring it all the way back from the frequency technology that can literally carve through stone like butter and allow for matter for local matter manipulation. That would be real easy for them to create an entire city underground. If they can manipulate rock, they can surely just go right through it and create cities and entire areas that exist underground using, and they would have to go deep enough that we're not able to get there, but not because of they are hiding from us, but because they want to use the geothermal radiation to keep themselves warm. And that is actually a technology that electricians have been using for a while. The very base level of just basically because the earth is always a certain temperature at a certain depth. Like if you live in a basement, or if you've ever been in a basement, you'll know like the temperature kind of stays pretty consistent year round, whether it's 100 degrees out or 10 degrees out. Any underground structure typically stays between like 50 to 60 to 70 degrees, depending on how far down it is. What if they needed something much warmer to survive? What if they needed a like 200 degrees? So for them to survive in that, they would need to go much further underground to get that kind of thermal and heat signature that they need. That is beyond us. But it's also odd that humans can survive at those temperatures too. Not for long, but that could just be a product of evolution since we don't live that in that environment anymore. So I'm an avid user of saunas, and I can stay in a sauna for 200, 220 degrees for 10, 15, 20 minutes. It doesn't immediately kill me. And those saunas can be 20, 30% humidity and not kill people immediately. If it was steamy, that would kill us. But we have this adaptable code in us that can survive in these different temperatures. What if that was programmed there? Because there's almost no other species on the planet that can adapt the way humans can adapt.
You said, what if it was programmed there? What do you mean?
So another big theory and idea that has been brought about is how humans almost feel like we were genetically engineered hundreds of thousands of years ago. Our ability to manipulate our environment to our needs is unique to us. Like, you know, there's beavers and birds, but they're not building skyscrapers. They are not building airplanes. They're not building these monoliths. That is unique to humans. What if there was some kind of genetic engineering that allowed our brains to expand to the point of becoming part of a larger consciousness? And so that is another thing that touches on going back to frequency. So I'm not Sure, and I'm sure this definitely discredits everything I'm saying is crazy and nonsense, but it might even discredit even further is that myself, I've done a fair share of hallucinogens in the past, mushrooms particularly, and I've done them on my own almost all the time. And several times I had this feeling that there is a frequency in the universe that we are tapped into. It's just a feeling that's there. It's really hard to describe. It's like a larger than myself and energy that I am connected into. And having spoken to many people, many people that have done psychedelics, they all kind of say the same thing, that there is a consciousness and energy, a frequency to the planet that we seem to be tapped into. And the word that always keeps coming back to that is frequency. We are on different vibrational frequencies. And we are affected by frequencies as well, which has always made me ponder, what are these reasonings behind frequency being associated with everything in our lives? So I'm sure you've listened to music at some point in your life, and you've heard something that, and you can't explain it, that brings about an emotion, that evokes an emotional response. I would say the best one is, let's look at the classical musics like Mozart. No words at all. You just hear the piano, you hear this orchestra playing, and it evokes an emotional response. There's no reason for this. What association would we have with music that was written hundreds of years ago? There's no words to remind us of something, and yet there's an awe-inspiring sense when you really hear it and it shakes you to your bones. You feel this. But why? Why does that affect us that way? Have you ever notice that yourself when listening to something?
I have. One thing I've heard is there's something called 432 hertz. Are you familiar with that? That's like a frequency, and when you listen to it, it feels like it kind of awakens something within you. And they say that all of the mainstream music we have is not at that frequency. It's at a different frequency, and the frequency that all the mainstream music is at. Music, TV, movies, it's at a different frequency that kind of lulls us in asleep or keeps us, what's the word I'm looking for? Like keeps us kind of like unaware or like ignorant. You know, it kind of dumbs us down and makes us malleable, usable. And if you listen to music at 432 hertz, like there are YouTube channels, and these YouTube channels may be BS, but you know, they'll take like a popular song and they'll convert it to 432 hertz, and it just sounds better. It sounds like it's kind of radiating through your body. And they say that like it kind of awakens the water within your body and your cells, you know. And when you listen to the radio, it's just kind of dead. Are you familiar with any of this, or?
Yes. So I work in a wellness center and we have what's called an Opus sound bed. And this was designed with, again, frequency in mind. I know the artist who created all the soundtracks for it and the engineering team. They put speakers in there that specifically use those kinds of frequencies. And so you lay on this bed, you put on an eye mask, you put on headphones, and the bed itself shakes at these particular frequencies of this music. And everyone and anyone that's used it says that it's an indescribable feeling that they get, that they'll lay on here and just they'll be transported somewhere else due to frequencies. This isn't hallucinogens. This isn't like breath work. This is literally just listening to something and having it alter everything inside of you internally, which is incredible.
Yeah, there's also, I believe, something about the chakras. and that, which is like an ancient Hindu belief. I don't know much about it, but they say that like certain frequencies will awaken certain chakras within you. You know, like your heart chakra, the mind chakra, the spirit. And I think that there's a lot within mainstream society that wants to keep us spiritually dead, you know? And I think frequency has something to do with that.
Yes. And again, it's all goes back to that idea of frequency and how all these ancient cultures have ideas around frequency. The Tibetans, the Buddhists, they have the different frequencies. The most powerful one being Om. I'm sure you've heard monks chant that. It's just like Om. And what that does, like even just doing that for a second, like I almost feel a slight rush in energies, in energetics. But why is that? What are we tapping into when we create these own frequencies in ourselves that alter our energy? And what if there was a species, another group that lived alongside of us that was fully capable of manipulating these frequencies to move their environment? And again, goes back to this altered race that can literally change energy and manipulate their local matter. So when we do these things, we manipulate our insides. We, like I said, if you were to do a long Om meditation, you would feel different, more so than just a silent meditation. All because you're adding in a sound. You're literally changing a frequency that you're emitting, and it's changing your inner circle or your inner energy. But again, why is that? Why is all these things that I keep talking about, it all goes back to frequency and the manipulation of local and near local matter. And I think that is what really brings it all together. And I know this, I went on a tangent, it feels like, on everything, but I do feel like there is this connectedness that we are slowly getting to, quicker now than ever. But I think that there's going, in the next decade or two, especially with the advent of AI, there is going to be some major turning in the world where we start to understand these frequencies and how does that affect organic matter?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think also with these frequencies, like the 432 hertz, it allows plants to grow faster and like more richer produce and things like that. Let me ask you this. Have you heard about these Nazca mummies that they've been finding like in Nazca, I think, which is in Peru? They've been showing these like petrified bodies. All right. So basically, they have been doing these research on these petrified bodies. They look kind of like small little reptile people that they have found in Peru. And at first people thought that they were a hoax. I don't know if you have a computer right there, but you just type in Nazca mummies and it'll show these little petrified bodies. And it looks like, you know, they were little reptile people. And they did, what do you call it, MRI scans on them. And they said, yeah, this isn't man-made. These are legitimate, some kind of creature that lived in that area. And Nazca, if you're not, I don't know if you're familiar with that area, but that's where the Nazca lines are, which are those monumental hieroglyphs that are in the ground, and nobody knows how they were made. So yeah, I'm not sure if you see it right there on your computer, but yeah, that's, you know, something crazy there going on. And maybe that's what they are. Maybe that's what they look like.
Yeah, and it very well could be. And I mean, yeah, I'm looking at the Nazca lines now. I've looked at the Nazca mummies. And again, they do go back to, they're not lizards, but they almost reptilian-like appearance. And the Nazca lines, like that's in solid stone. or looks like. That would be very easy to do using the same technology they used to create those the ancient pyramids, if they can manipulate frequency to carve out giant blocks, they can easily do it to draw some graffiti on the ground.
Let me ask you this. You mentioned about Hollow Earth. I know that during World War II, the Nazis, they were, especially Adolf Hitler, he was really enamored with the whole Hollow Earth thing. And he actually sent expeditions to find the entrance into Hollow Earth. And the Nazis actually had the first base on Antarctica. And some people are saying that maybe they had found like a UFO and they had kind of started to begun reverse engineering it. I don't know if you're aware of Project Paperclip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so basically what I'm asking is, does any of this tie into your theory? You know, World War II, Hollow Earth, and the Nazis, and if you could expound on that.
So I'm familiar with the Nazis being into the occult and trying to figure out, like, there was, they were kind of like starting to become known for these out of the norm research projects. And I can't touch on it too much because I'm not super familiar with everything that they did. But yes, I know that they created the Antarctica base. They were looking for these ancient treasures. Like, that was one of the big things that Hitler was known for, was looking for technologies that shouldn't have existed because he wanted them for his own power. Again, going back to what I was talking about with why we don't have access to certain technologies that probably exist, is that time and time again, man has shown that we wouldn't use these powers initially for exploring and advancing humanity. We would use it to dominate other humans. So if a species wants us to further their own agenda, they don't want us to dominate ourselves. They kind of want us all working towards a common goal. And that also leads to, like, why there's borders and all that. Because if you make an other, if you make an enemy, that kind of unites us together in smaller groups. It plays on our tribalistic instincts. So I do think that there very well could be these ancient technologies like Hitler and Nazis were after, maybe because he thought that they really existed, and maybe they do. But again, I can't talk too much on that.
Yeah, I understand. So are there any other aspects, like, because you said it, this whole reptilian thing reached into a whole nother, whole bunch of other conspiracies. Are there any conspiracy theories that we haven't touched on yet that are connected to this reptilian?
No. I've got my little map here. Aliens, the Young Dryas impact theory, which I started it with. Climate change to manipulate our atmosphere and terraform. The Hollow Earth theory. Human genetic engineering. They altered us because they wanted a race of workers that were good at manipulating things physically. Maybe they were just good at it using, like, technology. But now I just looked at those Nazca mummies. It would make sense that they would try to manipulate a ape of some kind, because those mummies look real small. Like, they're not, like, large. What if they were a smaller species? It was like, hey, we need a species that can do the grunt work for us and doesn't need to be constantly monitored. You would create a species that's somewhat intelligent and is capable of larger feats of strength than them. And looking at the Nazca mummies, it would even make sense that through time immemorial, it's always been the little green guys that abduct humans to run experiments. What if they're just seeing how far, if the experiment's already done, they're just picking up people to see how far along their genetic alterations are coming and how it's going to progress in the future.
So do you think they're still genetically manipulating us?
I don't think they're still. I think they did it to begin with, And then they're just seeing how it's playing out. Kind of like what we've done to dogs. Like, there was not those mini chihuahuas all those years ago. They would have been eaten by owls to extinction. Like, Pomeranians, they shouldn't exist. But they do. And we've manipulated these dogs, and we're kind of always checking on them. We're always seeing, like, what did we do to them? And, like, the same thing with pugs. We messed that dog up. We messed that whole species of dog up. Like, it's born with breathing problems because we made it that way. So I think possibly if there are abductions, there is a chance that they're simply doing it to make sure that they're not going too far like we did with some animals ourselves. Like, oh, we don't want a genetic outlier that's just going to drastically reduce the length of humankind. We still need them to fulfill our purpose. We don't want them to be weak and soft and unable to carry out what we want them to do.
You know, what's interesting about these abductions, right? And you mentioned about how these reptilians live underground. I saw a map one time. It compared missing people with the American cave system. Have you ever seen that? So like the American cave system, it was like an American map, right? And it showed where all of the caves are in America. And then right next to it, it showed like a map of where the most missing people were, and it lined up with those caves. So basically it's saying that there's a connection between the American cave system and missing people. And so maybe people are getting abducted and they're being taken underground for experimentation, or maybe they're eating them or something. Maybe these reptilians feed on us. Well, what do you think about that?
I don't think that they would feed on us. There would be way more missing people to support an entire civilization. If they have that technology to live underground, I would say either there's two possible explanations for this. And I've seen similar things. The most missing people reports happen in national parks, places that are technically preserved and like there's no humans that go there. But you also have to think that slavery still exists. Human sex trafficking still exists. Mm-hmm. That could just be human malice that is doing that. Because again, they know they're out in the middle of the woods with no cell phone communication. It'd be real easy to just take people and sell them into whatever it is they want to sell. That could be mafia, cartel, Russian mobs. Like, it could be any number of things. So I don't. The other stuff I'm talking about, like, it can point in the directions I'm talking about, but I do think, like, the missing people thing, that's largely probably human malice.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. So you mentioned about how you think they're terraforming the planet and they eventually want to come above ground. So what do you think is their end goal? They want to come above ground and they're going to dominate us? Are they going to kill us off? Or what do you think is going to happen? And when do you think it's going to happen?
Oh, I have no idea when it would happen. And I don't think they'd care to dominate us. Again, so one thing that largely gets overlooked, because I've heard this so many times, is the Earth is overpopulated. There's too many people. But I largely disagree with that. In fact, we are on a path of almost human extinction. So they've done projections in China that they're in cultural collapse. Like, if they don't rectify their how many people are giving birth year over year, that their civilization could end within the next 10 to 15 years. Japan's on a similar path to that. So I don't think that humans are overpopulating anything. In fact, we're actually doing worse as a species now than we have in many generations. But also, there's a ton of land. Like, I've done over-the-road trucking. I've gone between the country, like the United States, for many, many times. There's plenty of land. Like, There's a whole lot of nothing between California and New York. I don't think they actually need to dominate us. Like, and if they have that the technology of manipulating ground and earth and creating entire cities out of rock and whatever it is they want, we already know that technology exists to do cloud seeding. They do that in Dubai, where they literally just put chemicals in the air and make it rain. We could tariff we they could easily have some kind of similar technology, or just you co-opt human technology to create cities wherever they want it to. And if they have these ships capable of transportation at hypersonic speeds, then transportation is not an issue for them either. So I don't think that they would have to dominate it. I think the only thing that they would have to do is have a slight show of force simply to try and curb any xenophobia that humans would have towards them. And it's kind of been shown for, again, throughout all of history, humans don't really like people or things that are different from them.
Yeah. You mentioned about the underpopulation, Japan, China, also Korea, I think America as well. Everywhere in the world, I think, has a low birth rate except for Africa. Why do you think that is? Do you think the reptilians have something to do with that? They're intentionally lowering our number?
No, I don't think that's a product of an outside force. I think that's entirely on us. And it's such a weird conundrum because I've lived in different parts of the country. I've lived in impoverished parts. I'm living in a nicer, higher end part of the country now. There is almost a direct correlation between how many children a couple has and how educated they are. So the more educated people become, the less children they have. China, well known for being very studious and very educated. Same for Japan, same for Korea. They beat us in all markers of education. They seem to have a downward spiral of population. Americans, we still have all of Alabama fucking each other to make sure that we don't lose our population yet. But it's one of those things. I think it's just the more we educate and bring people up, the less babies they want to have. I mean, if you're making 100,000 a year as a couple, if you're just by yourself, you don't have kids, you can live a decent lifestyle. If you're making 100,000 and you have one kid, you're comfortable, but you have to spend that money for an extra room. You have to spend the money on childcare. You have to spend all this extra money on these things. But then you start adding in more kids. I've got three kids. The additional money isn't additive, it's multiplicative, meaning two children is not the same as one child plus one child. It's those two children start breaking shit. They start getting into stuff. They want to do more stuff. Like they, and it splits your attention. It splits your time. It's so you have less time to focus on career because now you have to split your time between two children and one-on-one time for each child. So you are going to be spending less time making money. You're going to be spending more time with your kids because that's what we want to do. As a good parent, you want to spend time with your children. So the more educated we get, the less we have because we see, we understand that children are an expense and we kind of want to live our best lives. Don't fault anyone for that, but that's just a product of better education and a much more demanding economy, I would say.
Yeah. So we've been talking for about an hour now, so I'm gonna go ahead and kind of wrap it up. I want to ask you, what do you see coming forward within the next couple decades in regards to this whole reptilian thing? I know you mentioned about AI. Do you think AI plays a role in this whole reptilian overlord
So I use the word
conspiracy?
reptilian overlord, but I don't believe it's like an overlord thing. I think that they are manipulating things from the back end, but they don't have some malicious endeavor for humanity. I think we're simply tools. I don't have a malicious endeavor for a hammer I use. It's just, it's a tool that I use. I don't think that it matters to them. I think that they are simply trying to create ends for themselves. But I do, again, I don't have nearly enough information to kind of even speculate on what they truly want. As far as where I think we're going to head to in the next decade or so, I think we are going to get a much better understanding of frequency and how we can use it to manipulate our surroundings because of AI. So Elon Musk, he's creating the Neuralink, which is going to really increase our processing speed. And are you familiar with the singularity?
A little bit. Basically, it's saying that man and technology are going to fuse into one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and essentially, what does that mean for our processing power? Because as smart as we are, we don't know what we don't know. But if we give ourselves a tenfold increases in processing power, in our ability to see our environment, then we don't know. Like the singularity that, is it Marescu? Not Marescu. The very famous, I'm drawing a blank on his name, he does a lot of futurism stuff. And he talks about how we can't predict anything beyond the singularity because our ability to process everything just shoots to the roof. We don't have the brain capacity currently to even understand what we will be capable of in 10 years. The singularity, I think, is speculated for like 2035. And with the advancement of AI recently going in leaps and bounds, it's probably going to be even closer. I think that they moved it back to like 2029 or 2030. And with Neuralink on its way, imagine a human brain coupled with, or the curiosity of a human brain and ingenuity of a human brain coupled with the processing power of an artificial intelligence that's directly linked into our brain and is capable of linking up to a Wi-Fi, something 10 times faster than 5G, which would be like 6G. And we would have an ingenuity and curiosity and this ability to tap into a consciousness no other species can have, coupled with the processing power of supercomputers beyond our current limitations. So it's impossible to predict what comes in 10 years. But it's going to be fun and awful and amazing and terrifying.
Yeah, all of the above. Yeah, I think we're in for something, a huge surprise. I think that maybe World War III might be around the corner. And I think when that happens, the government has a bunch of technology that they've kept hidden, maybe even this frequency technology. And if World War III happens, they're going to unveil that frequency technology to help them win the war, the same way they used a nuclear bomb to win World War II. But I definitely think we're in for a surprise, good and bad. So who knows what's coming. But this has been a great conversation. I really enjoyed this. I learned a lot. Do you have anything you want to promote? Do you have like your own podcast or anything like that?
I do. So again, I don't talk about conspiracy theories often. I have a small business. Like I'm more in the health and wellness field. Mm-hmm. I could also talk on big pharma and insurance conspiracies all day. But this one I just think is way more fun to talk about. I think it's something unique that I've never heard anyone talk about, is the interconnectedness of these different conspiracy theories that are out there. But yeah, I run a coaching business. I help people improve their health. I'm actually in the longevity sphere. I think we've figured out immortality, and I'm helping people access that, which is a whole other rabbit hole I could go down. But
all right, I would definitely love to have you back on to talk more about that. But where can people go to find out more about your coaching business and your podcast?
Yeah, so my website is getgreathealth.com. My coaching business is just Get Great Health. My Facebook group is Get Great Health, and my podcast is Get Great Health. I try to keep it on brand. Yeah, find me anywhere online, Get Great Health, or find me on Instagram or Twitter. I mean X at Get Great Drake, DRAYKE.
Awesome. All right, then I'll definitely have my listeners will definitely check it out, and we'll definitely have to have you back on sometime to talk more about health and these big pharma conspiracies, because there's definitely a lot going on there in the big pharma.
Oh, that one will get me killed. Like that one is, that's when we start talking about things that are dangerous. So,
There's definitely something going on, man. All right, well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And you
thank you,
enjoy the
Isaac.
rest of your day, man. No
And you as
problem.
well.
All right, that's a wrap. Thank you for joining us for another enlightening conversation here on Bright Brains. I hope you've gained valuable insights and inspiration to fuel your own bright ideas. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to like and subscribe, rate, and leave a review on your favorite podcast platform or however else you listen to this podcast. Also, we can be found on all major social media. Just type in Bright Brains with a Z. And remember, the brightest minds are those that never stop seeking knowledge.